Well, good morning. I like it. We're a Baptist church, and we say there's food, and people show up. That's a good, that's hand in hand, hand in glove, right? And I'm excited that for lunch today, Scott's been working hard. Scott and Tamara, sorry, and I believe Mark also, and Jaden have been working hard to make sure that we have plenty of smoked turkeys. And I'm trusting by faith that somebody brought cranberry stuff. Somebody brought cranberry. Anybody bring cranberry? Amy, you brought cranberry. Yes. Yes. You brought just that. You what? Okay. This is what I heard. What I'm hearing in, she said, there's just a little bit. You might have to fight for it. What I'm hearing is, we had a wonderful time Friday night, all of us together at Christmas at the Compass. And you laughed at me continually about various things, and so I'm going to mock you with the cranberry. Ben, is that what you heard too? Pretty much? You're keeping quiet. Okay. Yeah, that's what I heard. And you know something? Touche, because I deserve it. Oh.
Ladies first.
Well, okay, and here's the test. And Heidi, I appreciate that. It's kind of like that... Possessions 9/10 of the law, something like that. I'm closest to the food, but also my position as pastor, it's a test. Let's see how humble and what a servant Dan is to see if he lets everybody else go first and see if he throws a temper tantrum and stomps his feet and cries if he doesn't get cranberry. So we will see how that plays out. I'm sure it's going to be an exciting drama for us here on Family Sunday. Well, I don't know what your Christmas traditions are in terms of music. Over the years, I've been appalled to learn that many of our younger generation absolutely despises Christmas music. As I talk to people, and as I even talk to some of my own, like, I love Troy, but I'll throw him under the bus. He hates Christmas music. Hates Christmas music, can't stand Christmas music. And many in that 20-something generation, people that I've talked to, they just absolutely despise Christmas music. And that just completely baffles me. Christmas music, I think, is some of the greatest music ever written. I love all manner of Christmas music. I have a number of favorites. But one of them, and it's just recently that became one of my favorites, it's a song called Mary, Did You Know? And you're probably very familiar with it. And I think I had heard it and enjoyed it, but I most connected with it when I watched a music video of a group called Pentatonix when they performed this song. And watching them, listening to the words, it has greatly impacted me. And I want to start off our time this morning. I want to read the lyrics to that song and you can follow, you can read along, not out loud. I mean, you can if you want to. I mean, that'd be great. I will have a hard time not singing it, because when you say a song, it's hard for it not to come out of singing. I will try to spare you, I promise. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Mom, make that man stop talking so long up front. It's just beginning, sweetie. I'm sorry. Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. Mary, did you know the blind will see, the deaf will hear, and the dead will live again? The lame will leap, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? This sleeping child you're holding is the great I am. Oh, Mary, did you know? And I want to ask you, do you know? Do you know in the same way that we asked Mary, did you know? And I'm not talking about Jesus, so to speak. What I'm saying is, do you know what life is going to bring? I mean, you hope, but nope. You plan, but nope. You dream, but nope. You worry, but nope. I mean, think about it, kids. I mean, any of you, okay, how many of you kids in here have been asked the question by mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, a teacher, what do you want to be when you grow up? Have you ever heard, anybody asked that question? Yeah, absolutely. And you've probably thought about it too, right? Braden, you want to do something in monster trucks, right? Monster trucks, that's your deal, dude? Yep, that's right. Something with monster trucks. What?
Sounds like a great job.
That's right, sounds like a fantastic. Jesse, when you grow up, you can work on monster trucks. We think about what we want to do when we grow up. We as you start getting older, you think about where you want to go to college. And interesting how me going to college worked out. When my brother was way up there when it came to intelligence. The SATs, he scored in the top 1% of every high school student in the nation who took the test. I mean, he was right up there. He's in the 1979 Who's Who of American high school students. And I used to poke his buttons because go, all right, so what college do you want to go to? And he'd be like, well, you know, I'm really setting on University of Chicago. I'm like, Corey, do you know that I don't even think they have a football team? And like, it doesn't matter. I said, Corey, okay, Corey, come on. Pick USC. USC's got a football team. Not this year, but they've got a good football team. He's like, no, that's not where I want to go for. I want to go. I forget what he wanted to go to school for. I was like, no, that's not. They don't have the program I want to go for. I'm like, okay, pick someplace else. Pick someplace that's got a football team. He's like, Daniel. Whenever Daniel comes out, I know that I've reached either I'm in trouble with my mom or I've reached the irritation point. Okay. It's like, it doesn't matter about the football team. Yeah, it does. When you're planning to go to school, you got to go to school you're proud of for the football team. Come on. He planned. We plan what we think about. I mean, kids, do you guys have plans for Christmas break? Any plans for Christmas break? The Knicks family, you guys doing anything special for Christmas break? Fleeing the state, right? Yeah. How many of you guys leaving the area for Christmas break? Okay, yeah. We tried to leave Idaho Falls once for Thanksgiving, and then we learned that every Thanksgiving it snows and it blizzards, and we still tried to leave anyway. It took us longer to get to the place and get home than we actually spent in the location. Ridiculous. We planned, we tried, but nope, didn't know. We think about, we look at, I don't know, kids, do you do this? Are there Christmas presents under your Christmas tree already? How many of you are like, yep, okay. Do you go there and lay down in front of the tree and try to figure out what's in the present with your name on it? Eli, do you do that?
We don't have presents.
Not yet? Okay, all right. But when they get there, is that what you do? That's right. Eli, I think I know you. You probably get the slide rule out, and you try to mathematically figure out what can fit in, what can fit inside. Whoa, and there she goes. She's loose. You plan coming to church, and everything's going to be great. And then every parent goes through the exact same thing at some point or another. That's why everybody just smiles and goes, we understand. Absolutely. But we think and we look forward to things, anything from, I mean, it may be something as simple as what's going to be for dinner, where you're going, what you're going to do on Christmas break, what you're going to do with your life. But the question is, it's the same question that was the song asked of Mary. Do you know? Mary thought she knew. She did. Mary thought she knew. She thought everything was figured out. She had marriage plans. She had this big, we don't have any pictures of Joseph, but I'm assuming that she had this big, strapping, strong carpenter of a man. And I've learned, working construction, there's a difference between a construction worker and a carpenter. A construction worker absolutely knows what he's doing. And he's saying he's learned a trade and he invests himself in it. And I imagine a carpenter back in this time would have been strong and would have been built. She had marriage plans to this man named Joseph, her dream man. And she would have had family plans. She would have. A Jewish woman, a Jewish, getting planning to get married. Man, you looked forward to having a bazillion kids. That was your legacy, was all of the children you were going to have. Mary was planning, probably, I'm going to get married and we're going to start having babies. The whole cry, you probably remember Hannah back in the Old Testament, Samuel's mom. She was afraid her womb was barren and she cried out to the Lord and God blessed her with a baby. And what a miracle, what a great thing that was. She had family plans and she would have had routines. And she would have, and she had a context. She was a Jewish girl living in Roman ruled Israel. And life was what life was. You got up, you did your chores, you did what was necessary to keep life going, you paid taxes. You just went through life. And as far as you know, the history you'd learned about the glories of Israel, they were never going to be a part of your existence. And you were just going to look forward to one day, maybe Messiah would come. But right now, you live under Roman rule. And you would go to the temple, and you would pay your tithes. You'd be part of the Day of Atonement. You'd be part of the sacrifices. And that was her routine, and that was her context. For Mary, life was essentially set. And maybe that's where you kind of find yourself now. Our life is set. You didn't necessarily plan on being in Alaska. How many of you actually, as you were growing up early on in life, and maybe when you were first married and having a family, how many of you thought, we're going to end up in Alaska someday? If you weren't already here, Jesse, and you're thinking, I'm going to end up in Alaska. Okay, not many. Not many. I grew up reading Outdoor Life, Field and Stream, Sports and Field, and I thought, oh, to go to Alaska to hunt and fish would be bomb. Absolutely. But to live here, holy cow. Had no idea. Mary had no idea. Her life and her routines and her context was set. But she had no idea what God had in store. And folks, let's be real honest. That's where each of us sit today. We have no idea what life is going to bring. You sit here today, 6 months from now, you may be in a completely different context, a completely different place, because God has plans for you. God has plans for me. Mary, the plan that God had for Mary, wow, very interesting. Let's stand and let's read together Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 33. And to unfold a little bit about what the plans God had for Mary. Luke records, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, 'Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end.'" God, we ask, help us to put ourselves into this place. And in doing so, God, that you would open our eyes to the place that we have before you. Mary had no idea what her life was going to be, had no idea what you had willed for her. God, I do pray that as we see how you work, as we see how you use people, that God, that you would draw our hearts close to you. That God, that you would bring our wills and our hearts and minds in submission to your lordship, God, to your choosing of what you want to do in us and through us, God. And Lord, I pray that we will find hope. We will find hope, God, in this message of what transpired at Christmas, God. We ask this in your name. Amen. Well, take your Bibles. If you haven't done so already, take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 1. And really, this is a preparation for in a little bit, we're going to celebrate communion. And we're going to sing some more. And then the kids are going to put on a little they're going to sing for us and a little play for us to remind us about Christmas. And this is really all preparation for that. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 33, or through 35, we're going to cover this morning briefly. Mary did not know, and to answer the question, it's a rhetorical question. No, Mary did not know. She had no idea what was coming her way. It's that surprise. It's like the surprise that you get on Christmas morning, where you really don't know what's in it as a child. You don't know what you're going to get. You don't know what's going to be waiting for you. You wake up with that, at least I did, wake up with that anticipation of what's going to happen. What am I going to see? Mary didn't know to have that level of anticipation, but with the message that the angel gave to her, she had, even with the information given there, she did not know the fullness. And the first thing we see in the text is that Mary did not know her relationship with God. Look at the text, what's it say? In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor. You found favor with God." She had no idea how to process those few words. "You found favor with God. Chosen one. Favored one." You see, Mary was ordinary and common. She was just part of the crowd. She was nothing special. I mean, because she was human and she was Jewish, she was part of the special people of God, but there wasn't anything to distinguish her from the crowd. She was a face in the crowd. She was like everyone else. As we talked about routine, as we talked about vision for life and direction in life and what life entailed, she was one of a million. Not one in a million, one of a million. But she didn't understand. She was chosen and favored by God. You see, one of the things that it's easy to miss is that Mary, we think Mary was some superhuman person and lived at a level of goodness and greatness. And so God was going, "Huh, wow, there's all these people out here. Huh, let's see, Rose makes great scones. But, oh, you know something? I had the stuff her mom made Friday night at the Christmas at the Compass. I know where Rose got that talent from. Wow. Wow, okay, but you know something? Oh, and then, you know something? And then there's Jesse. Wow, master of the boat, owns the boat, runs the boat out there in the inlet, keeping control of all the bad that can go on. Jesse, yeah, he's kind of cool. Maybe him, or, oh, wait. No, I know. Constance, she works fish and game. She has to deal with the sport fishermen, the dip netters, and the commercial fishermen. She's got to define the word special to deal with all those people. And then, oh wait, you know something? And then there's Jenna and Melanie, the cold pizza, hot pizza girls. Okay, they know how to do it. They know how to do the pizza. You know something? And then there's that kid. He gets really good grades. And then that, you know something? God didn't do that. God did not go, "All right, I need all girls between this age. I need to turn in a resume. I need you to turn in a resume. I need you to apply for the motherhood position of the Son of God. And then we're going to evaluate the resumes and we'll see if the HR people will give you a call." That's how life works here. We try to make ourselves look good. We try to promote ourselves. We apply for positions. When I was little, I don't know how Little League works here. When I was little, they had tryouts and they would have a draft. And we would have to go on and put on and really look good so that we would get drafted by a good coach and be put on a good team. That type of pressure does not work well for me. No pressure, I could step up and smack the ball. Without pressure, I can make the throw as a catcher to second. Without pressure, I can field every grounder hit my way. You put me in tryouts, and you would think I had 4 left feet and 5 thumbs. Tryouts are awful. They're performance evaluations. God did not do that. When it says, when the angel said to Mary, angel says to Mary, greetings, favored one. You have found favor with God. What God, what the angel is saying is God has looked down and God says, I'm going to put my favor on you. It's all based on God. God says, I choose you. I choose you. I choose you without any regard for your history, regard for your looks, regard your education. I choose you regardless of your intelligence, your income, anything. I just pick you. She did not know that God had looked down and regardless of who she was in comparison to everybody else, he said, I choose you to be the mother of Jesus. I choose you. And as a result, she had a special place of favor with God. But also, Mary did not know this. Mary did not know her family's future. She had plans of lots of kids. And you understand when you have children, each child is different. We have 3 kids. Every child is vastly different. Vastly. Spend 5 hours with our 3 children together and you're like, oh yeah, they're completely different. All 3 of them, none of them are alike. And you know that's true. That's true of people. Mary had no idea of her family's future. She was thinking one thing only, marriage and family and life, being a matriarch. But this is what God revealed to her about what her family's future was going to be. Look back at the text. Verse 31, behold, you will conceive in your womb, bear a son, you shall name him Jesus. So far, so good. Nothing out of the ordinary there. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, the Lord, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And then look down. Verse 35, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. She did not know the full extent of what it meant, but her son would be God's son. Now, look up. What's it mean that it's God's son? That Jesus is God's son? Does that mean that there's God and he's at the top and then Jesus, because he's the son, he's second in command, less important? No, 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 no. That's not what it means. It's not a hierarchy of 1, 2, 3. How many, okay, any of you have animals that you've bred animals before and adult animals have had little animals? Any of you do that? No? Nobody? Okay, pig family, come on. If you had pigs, yes, there you go. Thank you very much. But come on. Setting you up for that one. Okay, if you've ever had dogs that have had puppies, you've ever had pigs that have had piglets, if you've ever had chickens or turkeys that have had turklets or chicklets, okay? Sorry, chicklets are those stupid little gums that run out of flavor in 30 seconds. Sorry. Chicks. There we go. Do you know? Here's the thing I found out. Do you know if a mama pig and a papa pig come together and they have babies, what kind of babies do they have? Pigs. Yes. I know. It's shocking. If 2 dogs, a mama dog, daddy dog, get together and they make, what do they make? Puppies. And puppies are what kind of animal? Chickens? No, they're dogs. Now, are the puppies less of a dog than the mama dog and daddy dog? Are they fully dogs? Yes. Fully, they're fully dogs. And if they're in Arizona, they're called hot dogs. I get that. I thought I would just throw that joke out there real quick. When it says that Jesus is the Son of God, it's a statement saying Jesus is God. Just like any of us that have sons, our sons are not less human than we are. They're equally human. Eli, you're just figuring that out. You're like, wait, Braden's fully human? What? Come on, what? Revelatory, come on. When the Bible talks about Jesus being the Son of God, the Bible is making a very strong assertion that Jesus is fully 100% God. And not just that Jesus will be God. Look back at the text. Her son will be the promised one. Verse 32, the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Not only is he God, but he is the one that everything in Israel has been focused on, the coming of the Messiah. Have you ever been promised something? Kids, you ever been promised something? You've had parents promise, one day we're going to get this. One day we're going to go here. I don't know. You probably have all those things recorded down and whether they've been fulfilled or not fulfilled. And, okay, as a parent, I'm an absolute sinner at this. I think the words that should be, there's one word that should be struck from all parents' vocabulary, and I think every kid everywhere will agree with this. The word maybe should never, ever, ever should be put, should be used. Do you know why? Because that's a way of saying, I don't want to answer that question, but I want to give you hope, even though in my mind there is zero hope. Okay? That's what I always heard growing up, okay? No maybes. And then when you get word that what was promised is truly happening, the excitement just explodes. Just explodes. From a hunting perspective, if you put in on the draw hunts, eventually you're going to get drawn. Eventually you're going to get drawn. Eventually you're going to get drawn. You keep putting in. Right, Jeff? You keep putting in because one of these days we're going to get drawn someday. And then, Jeff, you did not whisper, no, I'm not. Don't. You got to be hopeful, okay? Do not. No. Kim's invading your mind. No, we will get drawn someday. And then you put in, and there's the hope and the promise of someday. And then, well, when I was growing up, you'd get it in the mail. But you go online and you check. And it's like, I was drawn. I got the tag. Yes. Yes. And it is months out. But you begin planning. You begin planning. You begin reloading. You begin testing bullets. You get the backpacks out. You start organizing your stuff. I don't know, guys, if it works for you. But suddenly, for us, the living room is taken over with hunting stuff. From the moment we get notified we got drawn until probably 3 months after the hunt is over. Just because it takes that long. The anticipation. Finally, Israel had been promised the Messiah was going to come. And what the Messiah meant was that there would once again be a king in Israel. Israel had been without a king. Don't forget, God had not spoken to his people in 400 years. You know the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi? After that book was written, dead silence. Turn out the lights. Seeming darkness because it seemed like God had kind of taken a back seat and had just kind of backed away and had disappeared and had gone AWOL. Because all throughout the history of Israel and after the divided kingdom of Israel and Judah, there had always been a prophet who would give a message from God. Always. And suddenly there's nothing for 400 years. And then all of a sudden, and you know something? Maybe you have this in your life. Maybe you have a relationship with a parent or a child. You haven't heard from them forever. And finally you go, the phone's never going to ring. The phone's never going to ring. And then one day it rings. And you answer the phone. And it's that phone call. It's that person that you've been wanting to talk to for years. And they're on the other end of the line. Suddenly, God spoke to Mary and said, the Messiah, he's coming. Your son will be the one who's going to fulfill all of my promises. Imagine that. Everything that had been promised to you in life, a person shows up that they're going to fulfill everything in your life that has ever been promised. That was Jesus as the Messiah. This family was no longer ordinary. And then, Mary did not know. the power and work of God. Look back at the text. It says, she, Mary, rightly so, said to the angel, "How can this be since I'm a virgin? There's some things that have to take place for me to have a baby. Ain't happened." Angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God." Verse 37, "For nothing will be impossible with God." The power of work of God. Mary understood how families normally have babies and how a child comes into a family. And she said, "Those conditions have not been met in my family, God." And the angel said, "Don't worry. God's got that covered. God has that covered. God is going to miraculously..." Here it is. Let's get right down to it. "God is going to miraculously supersede the laws of science. And God's going to give you a baby. Regardless of what science says, regardless of the laws of nature, God is going to do something within you that's never happened before and will not happen again. The power of God is going to cause this to happen in you and through you. You are going to have in your belly, in your womb, for 9 months, a reminder of the miraculous work of God. Because there's no human father involved. Mary had no idea what it was going to mean for her and for her family. And here's the thing. I want to ask you this as we get ready to celebrate communion. Do you know? We could sing a song. And you could put your name at the start. Aura, do you know? Dill, do you know? Chad, do you know? Lacey, do you know? Alicia, do you know? Every single one of us. You can put our name right there at the start of that song and sing and make it a new song. Do you know that you are highly favored? You're highly favored. If you are a believer, if you are a Christian, God has chosen you. God has reached down and touched you. If you are not a believer and you're like, "Nah, I've not accepted Christ. I'm not sure about that." Do you know that you're still chosen and favored? Do you know why? Because God chose for you to hear the message of the gospel now. Right here. There are people all over the world who've not heard the message of the gospel. They've not heard that Jesus Christ came to earth, lived a sinless life, and He died on the cross to pay my guilt and pay my sin and pay for my wrath so I didn't have to be buried and then to be raised again on the third day to prove that His sacrifice was good before God and effective and that God's word is true. God promised Jesus would come. God promised that He would be the sacrifice for our sin. God promised that He'd be raised from the dead. God made good every step of the way. And you are highly favored because God has granted for you to hear that message. Believer, unbeliever, here this morning, you are favored by God. Did you know that? It doesn't matter your context. It doesn't matter the pain that you're in. It doesn't matter the circumstances in which you're living. You are favored by God. And do you know, just like the angel told Mary, "Hey, don't fear." I mean, it's a natural reaction. You're in your house. You're doing your thing. You're just. Mary was anywhere, is probably as young as 12 to as old as maybe 18, probably 14 to 16. Just imagine yourself 14 or 16 years old. Doing whatever you do in your house, and suddenly an angel's right there, girls, in your room with you. That would be just a little freaky. Just a touch. Just a touch alarming. And the angel said, No, don't be scared. This is a good thing. There's a lot of things that we fear in this life, not the least of which is death. 9 years ago today, at 10:30, it's 10:30 right now, I got a call from my mom. My dad had passed away. We all are going to face that. Some are going to pass away younger. Some are going to pass away older. Every single one of us have that hanging over our head. That's like the great fear. We fear, we have fear in our relationships, we have fear in our jobs, we have fear in our economy, we have fear in our world, in our country. And just like the angel said to Mary, don't fear. We don't have to fear. You know why? Because the Son of God, the King that's on the throne, came for you, lived and fought for you, and He died for you. Ultimately, that's why the angel told Mary, don't be afraid. And why the song says, the one that you delivered will soon deliver you. Later on, in Luke 2, when Jesus is presented at the temple, one of the priests there said this, told Mary this. Behold, the child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel and for a sign to be opposed. And a sword will pierce even your own soul to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And it's thought that the initial thought is that, yeah, it's going to crush Mary to watch her son be put up on a cross and to stand in front of that cross and watch him be spit on, abused, crucified as a criminal. But you know something? I think more importantly than that, and this is my prayer for us all here. Do you know what Jesus is? The Bible says that Jesus, the Gospel of John especially, He is the Word, the living Word. And do you know what the writer of Hebrews says? Says the Word is sharper than any two-edged sword to divide. Well, let's, how about me blunder through it? Let me just read it to you and we're going to close with this. Hebrews. And I think this is more accurately what it probably meant, though she wouldn't have had any context of this. It says, the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That her son, as the Word of God, would divide her soul and reveal her need for a Savior. That's what the Son of God does for us. He pierces. The living Word came to pierce our heart with our need for a Savior. He came and let us know we're highly favored, that we have no reason to fear, because He came for us, lived and fought for us, and He died for us. And that's what we celebrate with communion. We celebrate that fact. We celebrate in communion. We celebrate Christmas because there is no cross without the manger. And Jerry, you've got a song you want to do for us, correct? And Jerry's going to do a song and just want you to listen and prepare your heart. Prepare your heart for coming and taking communion. Spend some time with the Lord as she plays and as she sings. And after she's done singing, she's just going to quietly play. And as we usually do, it's once you've come to the point where you're ready, you can come up and take communion. We would ask only those who have confessed faith in Christ to do this. Because this is a testimony that says, I believe that Jesus lived and died for me. If you don't believe that, it's kind of a mockery for you to take it. And you know something? We've all been there. None of us were born Christians. If you're like in your integrity, go, you know, I really haven't. Trust me, nobody's going to judge you at all. Don't feel awkward if you don't feel right coming up and taking it. Take some time right now as Jerry plays and sings to process your relationship with the Lord. Talk to Him. Pray with your family. And then after she sings and plays for just a little bit, when you're ready and you've dealt with the Lord, come up and grab the elements, get the bread and the cup together, and then I'll come up and close us in prayer, and we will take communion together.